Welcome back to Hoops HD, everybody. Championship week, video notebook, day or night number 11.
Wow. This is a long week.
7 days. Why are we in day number 11?
Well, it's championship week. Those are longer.
I think it's championship month by the time we're done with this. I'm your host, Chad Sherwood, joined by the puppet, David Griggs, live from the puppet bunker.
Unfortunately,
did you get any food today?
No, you were supposed to deliver it. Well, what they did was that they left it outside, but I couldn't reach it, so it just sat out there.
John Slica with us, Rocco Miller back from bracketeer.org. We are here to talk about not a ton of games today, but some very important, some very good ones in a handful of conferences. Regular season play allegedly is done. I say allegedly because there's a chance we might get one or two regular season games scheduled at the last minute here over the course of this last week.
A bonus game? So
not much in terms of news or notes. One piece of news we'll get to in a little bit here. But so let's just get right into, though, the games that were played. We're recording this right around midnight, so there is one game we cheated again. We went a little early.
Pepperdine, BYU has tipped.
Yeah, but if you want to find out who won the Pepperdine BYU game, check your scoreboard. We can't tell you about it. But we had two automatic bids given out today, and that's one of the key things here. And I want to start with one of them.
Bold in all caps.
Bold in all caps on their survival board. I'm going to go to Mr. Stalika. It is his favorite team. He's been talking about it for years. I don't like to do it, but I think we've got to do it, and we're going to do it right now.
Oh, God. Stop it. Stop it.
Okay, that's enough. Oh my God.
You can
God.
Immediately go to Appalachian State's website for some gear, so I know I will be ordering my App State hoodie here.
Do we have the actual bracket up instead now? Hopefully we do.
Is that what they come out to when they introduce the players? You know how like pro wrestlers come out to music? Baseball, you know how they have walk-up music? Does anybody on the App State baseball team have that as their walk-up music? Please.
John, let me go to you. You've been singing that song for about 10 years on our show now. Your team is now in the NCAA tournament, knocked off Georgia State in its championship game, the Sun Belt.
Well, this was a game where Georgia State actually jumped out to a slight halftime lead, but once you got into the second half, about 5 minutes in, the Mountaineers blew it open with as much as a 13-point lead, but at the same time, Georgia State did try to make a couple quick runs. They were able to get it down to as much as a little as 4 points, but they weren't able to get any closer the rest of the way. Now, that said, there was a bit of a scare for App State with James Forrest going down with an injury late in the game. But if the name sounds familiar, or I'm sorry, Justin Forrest, because his father, James Forrest, actually hit a famous shot for Georgia Tech back in 1992 that made Al McGuire yell, "Holy mackerel."
Yeah, Rocco, App State with the win. They might be having to play 7 games to win the NCAA tournament, though.
Probably, but hey, why not? They just won 4 in 4 days, so what's an extra game for these guys? Pretty cool story, especially, you know, I'm really glad you mentioned that, Stalika, because as a kid, I that was one of my favorite tournament moments, was him doing that turnaround shot with 0.8 to beat baby Jordan and USC. Very cool that this is his son. And Justin Forrest has had a 4-year grueling App State career. Dustin Kearns, the head coach, came in last year, gets it done in year two all the way to the tournament. That's very impressive. And Forrest is an all-conference guy. So you just love to see, especially nowadays in a league like the Sun Belt, a guy to grind it out at a program like this, stuck in the middle of the pack, and just pull through when it means the most in the tournament.
Yeah, and Dave, this is a conference that all year we call it schizophrenic because it was all over the place, and no surprise really that the team, you know, fourth place out of 6 teams in its division ends up winning it all, I think, after what we saw.
Yeah, after what we saw this year, it was just real tumultuous. Like, first we really liked Georgia State, and then they were disappointing. And then it looked like Louisiana was good. We liked Little Rock. They never amounted to much. Then Texas State emerged. Then they lost. Then they were back in it. But Appy State had a real unspectacular regular season, but
except when they were beating Georgia State, but
it had its moments. Like you said, it was just a schizophrenic, real up and down, unpredictable league. But their run to the championship involved a Little Rock team that we all thought was a preseason favorite, Texas mm-hmm. State, who was first place overall, Coastal Carolina, who may have been the hottest team coming into the tournament, and then Georgia State, who we thought was the best team for a lot of the year. So they certainly earned their stripes during the tournament. It wasn't the easiest road to the title.
And they got lucky that they avoided Troy, because I think they lost like four times to Troy this season, or at least three. Meanwhile, you know, they would go out one week and get swept by Troy, and then next week beat Georgia State twice. That was the kind of season the entire conference had, though. But
yeah,
congrats to the Mountaineers. They are in 16 seed. Just going to throw it out there. Michigan looking like a one seed. We all know what happened in football. Just throw it out there.
It was the launch of the Big Ten Network.
Yeah.
A little bit of trivia. Good job, Stalika. The first ever football broadcast on the Big Ten Network
was App State's huge upset over Michigan.
Broadcast of any kind, and it wasn't even a Big Ten team that won the game.
One other championship today, the Southern Conference title game between Mercer and UNC Greensboro. David, Mercer tried to make some runs, but Greensboro was found a way to hold on to win this thing.
Yeah, Mercer was right in there for most of the game. They led for part of it. And then down the stretch, they were still in it, but they just couldn't hit a shot. I think they went through a stretch where they missed 10 out of 11, and it was in the latter part of the game in the final minutes, and they had chances to catch up but couldn't cash in on them. This Mercer team started off great around Thanksgiving. We thought they were fantastic. You know, they had the early wins against Georgia Tech and a Georgia State team that at the time we thought was really good. Kind of went into the tank as conference play rolled along. Greensboro, who coming into the year, everyone thought that they were one of two really good teams, them and Furman. And I still think that they're potentially dangerous in the NCAA tournament, that they have a high ceiling. As good of a story as Mercer was, I'm glad Greensboro got the win, because I, for one, like to see the good teams come out of the under-the-radar conferences.
Something
that's been happening a lot this year.
Rocco, earlier tonight at our Bracket Rundown show, we projected Greensboro as a 13 seed. I think this is a dangerous team for a four seed in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, absolutely. And we've seen, you know, just over the last few weeks of doing bracket exercises, that the four line is not exactly stable. We could end up seeing teams that either stumble down from the three, or teams that have been middle of the pack and play up to a four. So it's not going to be anybody overwhelming for this Greensboro team that is really prides themselves on picking up pressure, you know, three-quarter court, sometimes full court. And then they also are one of the best teams at protecting the basketball. They're like 20th in the country and not turning it over. And you know, in tournament settings, possessions are like gold, and they played a couple tight games here in the SoCon tournament, but they found ways to grind teams out. And that's what will work for them, I think, in the NCAAs. And a final thought on them is 2019, they were the last team out. Had Oregon not won the Pac-12 title, they would have been the fourth of the first four. And a lot of the nucleus is still there, like with Isaiah Miller and, of course, head coach Wes Miller. Just really good to see these guys finally persevere and get a chance to play in the tournament, because they've had an awesome program over the last handful of years.
Yep. So congratulations to the Spartans that they are in the NCAA tournament as well. That was the only championships. We had four conferences that are actually in the semifinal round today. And let's start with the wild craziness that has been the Colonial Athletic Association tournament, where John, let me start with you on this. The night began with, you know, we said, okay, Elon knocks off James Madison. James Madison was out Mount Lewis, their best player. That's it. It's a nice little upset, but it's a JMU team we didn't think was going to win. Then they just boat race Hofstra tonight.
I think I have to defer to Rocco for this one because he was the one banging the Elon drum, even when there was something like 0-7 in conference play.
Still preposterous.
They were back on Valentine's Day. They were winless in Colonial play, Rocco, and here they are in the championship game against not the 2 seed, against the 6 seed, Drexel, who. Actually, I called this last night. I think a lot of people were with me. I think they actually were favored to win this game because Northeastern was down multiple starters since they came back from their COVID pause. And Drexel was a pretty good team heading into the season, we thought. But there they are, 8 seed versus 6 seed. If you go by the seedings, it's crazy.
Very crazy. Yeah, I mean, it's even crazier than last year's Valley Final, which I think was a 4-7. This is a league that had so many COVID shutdowns, and Elon's one of the prime examples. You know, they were shut down after their first 2 games for about 3 weeks. Then they had a 2-week holiday break. Then they missed almost all of January. So, you know, Mike Scragg is one of the bright young coaches in America. I think he's still in his 30s, if I remember correctly. And he's done some good recruiting over the last couple of years. You know, Hunter McIntosh is only a sophomore. Buford is a freshman. He led the team tonight. So it was just one of those things where I figured before the season, once these guys play about 15, 20 games, I think they're going to be pretty darn good. And, you know,
I don't even think they got up to 15 or 20 games. I think they played about 13 it out. Or 14.
Yeah. So they're ahead of the curve here. And I just like the way they play and the way they're coached. And it's good to see them have some success here.
Yeah.
I like that you mentioned Mike Schrag here because he's a member of the Chris Holtman pipeline at both Butler and Ohio State, if I'm not mistaken.
That's correct. Yeah.
Yeah. David, the game tomorrow, though, Elon's looking for their first ever NCAA tournament bid against, you know, the sixth member of the Philadelphia Big Five, Drexel here. Who do you like?
I don't really know. I didn't like either one of them yesterday. I guess I'm going to go with Elon. Why not? It's a good story. First ever NCAA tournament. Go Phoenix.
I think it's a good story. I think it ends here. I think Drexel's got him. I think this Drexel team underperformed all season, and I think they're finally getting things.
There have been so many surprises in this tournament, Chad. It wouldn't shock me if William and Mary won tomorrow.
Let's jump over to the Horizon League, which was semifinal day. And we began with Rocco. Milwaukee was up on Cleveland State most of the game, the 8 seed over the 1 seed. It took a late Cleveland State comeback to win this thing.
Yeah, that was crazy. With about a minute left, it looked like Milwaukee was going in to build it up to a 3-point lead. A ball came off the rim and somehow got poked out, and Cleveland State got an and-one dunk to take the lead for the first time in a long time, and then also, you know, put it up to a 2-point lead. Ty Patton had a emotional finish, as he has so many times this year. The Vikings, I mean, how many close calls have they had? And they've pulled out almost all those.
Their entire season was today's game was their entire season. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. just a winning bunch of guys. So I kind of hope they finish the job in the final, even though their opponent is a pretty cool story too.
Yeah.
Cleveland State's last lead was 14-12 in the first half until that last surge.
There it is. Wow, yeah. David, Oakland kind of helped Northern Kentucky at arm's length the whole game. Northern Kentucky never really put together the run to get back in there. And you know, a team with a losing record here in the finals against Cleveland State.
Yeah, again, not the best of seasons, but a real tumultuous season, but really a lot of talent. I think we knew that.
You know what? We criticized the Horizon for the way they seeded teams, and we said it's ridiculous that Oakland, who finished like 6th or 7th in the standings, if any normal looking at it, got the 3rd seed because of their way they almost picked teams out of the hat. But I guess the way they seeded was not that bad. You ended up with 1 of the 3 in the final, right?
Yeah, and they beat a Youngstown team that I thought was – frankly better than them, and then they beat an NKU team that was
better than
them. I don't want to say they had a bad year, but it was a little bit disappointing, even though it still wasn't a bad year. But Cleveland State and Oakland, I didn't see this coming.
It was a reloading year for the Norse.
Do we have a pick on who's going to win it tomorrow? John and Rocco, John, let me go to you first.
I'm going to go ahead and go with Oakland right here. I mean, I've been beating the drum as far as their schedule this year. They started out with Xavier and Toledo, throw in an overtime loss in Michigan, but also games at Purdue, Oklahoma State. Did they play enough bye games to prepare for the Horizon League?
Yeah, true. Rocco, do you agree with him that Oakland, yeah, despite their overall record, is going to be the winner here?
I think so. They've
your name isn't Rocco, but
oh, I thought you said.
Hey, that's cool. Well, I want your opinion too, David. It's going to be a good game. I actually remember watching their series at Oakland. There was the game. It was the the second game of the series. Oakland blew a massive lead, and Cleveland State just, again, pulled a rabbit out of the hat and won in the last minute. I could see something like that happening again here in the final. I just have a feeling that Cleveland State does it again. They find a way, but I think it's going to be a crazy, really entertaining game.
Yeah, they're going to get outplayed and squeeze, pulled out at the end. But, David, you wanted to give your thoughts on it too.
Well, yeah, I could see it going either way, but I just think Oakland's looked a little better in the tournament, and that's – I think they get it done tomorrow, despite me thinking Cleveland State has had the better year and should have the better team. I think Oakland finds a way tomorrow.
Saturday and Sunday, we had the quarterfinals were played in the Summit League, and a conference tournament that we always love. It's always seems to give us exciting. And we had four relatively, maybe one, three out of four were complete blah games. Probably all four were, because one was only decent because of a late comeback by Kansas City to almost steal the game. The Summit League totally redeemed itself today, though. Probably two of the best games of the entire day, beginning with the buzzer-beating Oral Roberts upset win over South Dakota State when Kevin Obenor taps in the shot at the buzzer. Rocco, let me start with you on this one here. About this fat game? Game of the day, I think.
Oh, yeah. Unbelievable. I mean, I was tracking most of it. I got to see the last couple minutes. That was crazy. And Oral Roberts, you know, they've been playing like this all year. I remember their series with South Dakota State. It was, the scores, there was the game where Oral Roberts beat them 103-86. You know, there wasn't going to be a lot of D played, and we ended up at 90-88 tonight.
It was a fun game to watch.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
And Oral Roberts is such an offensive showcase. I think Obenor and Abmas, those guys are probably both going to be at least NBA fringe guys, if not all the way in the NBA. So that's just a real fun offensive team to watch.
Yeah, and the late game, John, North Dakota State was down to South Dakota most of the game. Real late comeback to steal it from them.
Yep, and South Dakota looked like they were going to cut the deficit down to one with about 6 seconds left after what looked like they had made a three, but unfortunately the Yotes player was about 2 feet out of bounds, and
hey,
North Dakota State was able to run out the clock.
It's even further away from the basket. You should get 4 points for that shot, right? David, I think we got a real interesting final tomorrow too. North Dakota State, Oral Roberts, the three seed, the four seed, but this was a tournament where we said getting to the semifinals, all four of these teams could win it.
Yeah, I agree. Should be fun. It's almost a toss up. I'm gonna go with North Dakota State. I like how they played, particularly in the latter half of the season. But like we said today, either team could win it.
Yeah, Rocco, you agree with it? You have a pick here?
Yeah, I'll go with Coach Richmond. Coach Dave Richmond. I think he's proven himself in this tournament. I also have just been burned so many times over the years picking anybody without the name Dakota in their school. Yeah. Usually doesn't work out very well, but Oral did get it done today. I do expect a really entertaining game again.
Yeah, it's kind of funny the tournament being played in South Dakota. Both South Dakota schools could not win today. So instead of having 15 fans and a bunch of cardboard, we'll have 15 fans and a bunch of cardboard. Do love watching those games being played at the Sanford Pentagon up there. Oh, it's a great beautiful little building. Yeah. Mm-hmm. One of the conferences that was in the semifinal stage today, we've only had one game go final so far, and it was the number one team in the nation, and they absolutely boat race St. Mary's as we thought they would. We said last night we didn't think there's anything to discuss about this game to preview it, and I don't know that there's anything to discuss about the game to recap it, is there?
Not really. It went as expected. Gonzaga, even though they've been blowing teams out, it looks like they've been sleepwalking. Like, they just haven't had they've been playing at about 70% of what they're capable of playing at, which is, I don't know if that's making them more lethargic or means that they're even more dangerous than what we've seen.
Well, Rocco, as we record this, Pepperdine, surprisingly, it's still early in the game, but has a surprising early 5-point lead on BYU. Regardless of who wins the Pepperdine BYU game, the Zags, do you think the Zags are going to win by less than 20 tomorrow?
Well, we'll see, but it would take a miracle, basically like a pitcher pitching a perfect game for them to lose. But hey, this Pepperdine BYU game I've been excited about, because if you watch those two matchups this year, you know, Pepperdine beat them in Malibu. The one at BYU was actually a 2-point game with a minute to go, and somehow it ended up being a 12-point after a bunch of fouls and craziness at the end. But Pepperdine matches up with BYU very well, so we might end up with Lorenzo against Mark Few in the final.
We love that matchup.
Yeah, we do. The Pouncies.
But I think Mark Few is going to kind of eat him alive with the team he has this year, though. One other game that
is in, right?
One other game that was played today, John. It was day one of the first round of the Metro Atlantic tournament between Canisius and Ryder. And it was actually a heck of a game. Canisius had a big lead most of the way, and Ryder with a huge comeback from down 11 to steal it.
Yeah, the sad irony for Canisius is they've gotten used to winning close game after close game in the Metro Atlantic. But in this case, Ryder hits a shot in the closing seconds, and the Bronx are going to be the team that actually moves on in a historic boardwalk hall.
Yeah, I assume that Ryder's probably going to go home for the next 2 days. Their next game isn't until Thursday, the way that the bracket works. They'll have 2 days off here. David, let me start with the first question to you. Tomorrow's two games, Quinnipiac, Iona, Fairfield, Manhattan. We do have Patino's team in there, Rick Patino's team. Anything you're looking at for those two games?
Not much. Iona didn't get to play much this year. They were one of the teams that were one of the hardest hit teams in the nation by COVID that actually did not cancel their season. So it'll be kind of interesting to see what they do in the tournament. It's almost sort of like a second chance. Well, it is for everybody, but they may have a higher ceiling than what they've shown. So I think that will be something to watch for both tomorrow and then, on Wednesday.
If they get past Quinnipiac. Rocco, I know you weren't with us last night, so just your thoughts generally on this entire bracket here, though, in the Metro Atlantic.
Yeah, I think, David started to hint at it. Another league that's been hit pretty hard by COVID. If you look at, all the stuff Siena's been through and Canisius themselves, it's been a tough year for a lot of the league. I do think, there's a team that just keeps surprising me, and I think it's because they're just very well coached, especially defensively by their head coach John Dunn, and that's the Marist Red Foxes. They come in as the 4 seed. They've already knocked off Siena once. I know a couple teams have beaten Siena. I think Marist makes a run to the finals, but I'll pick Monmouth to win it.
Pick Monmouth to win it. Okay. I like that. I think John Dunn did a great job. This Marist team was at the bottom of the Metro Atlantic for years before he went there. Went from St. Peter's to Marist. Interestingly,
he's got some good stuff.
Yeah, he does.
That's it for the games that were played today, but we have some other conferences, one other conference that's returning to action and a bunch of conferences that are tipping off. But the one of the conferences returned to action, it is Championship Day in the Northeast Conference in Rhode Island, Mount St. Mary's at Bryant. David, huge contrast in styles here too. Could be a very interesting game.
It always is interesting when the two get together. I think Bryant wins.
Rocco, are you with them?
Yeah, I mean, Bryant's they're explosive, and they've got D1, power conference level talent. Now, I think a key here is, they were able to overshadow Sacred Heart very quickly, but they were missing Green and Childs. I'd be very curious to see if they're cleared to play tomorrow. Mount St. Mary's is a much better defensive team than Sacred Heart was, and they're also very well coached by Dave Engelstad. I like a lot of what they've done, but they've had, a couple really bad weeks and a couple really impressive weeks. So, I don't think it's a shoe-in for Bryant by any means. I think this is it's the slowest tempo, one of the slowest tempos in the country against the fastest. So,
it's going to come down to who controls the tempo. If this game is in the 70s and 80s, Bryant's going to win. If it's in the 60s, Mount St. Mary's is going to win.
Or it could be in the 80s and the 50s.
If it's in the 80s and the 50s, Bryant's definitely winning.
Yeah, Sacred Heart knows about that.
Yeah.
John, where are you going to go with this?
I still say don't doubt the mount.
Don't doubt the mount. I could see it. I could definitely see it. That was we have four of the conferences that are tipping playoff tomorrow. And let's start with the biggest one of them all that's starting tomorrow. It is round one day in the ACC, the first of our power conferences to get underway, beginning at 2 o'clock with Pittsburgh, Miami, 4:30 with, yes, the Duke Blue Devils. I don't think Duke fans even knew that they started the conference tournament on Tuesday. They just assumed it began on Thursday with the quarterfinals. They get BC, Notre Dame, Wake Forest in the third of the games. John, let me start with you with question number one. Do you see any upsets in terms of seeds, at least in these three games tomorrow?
If I were to talk about seeds in these three games, I'm actually going to go a little bit off the board and say Wake might be the team to do it here. I mean,
Notre Dame just beat Florida State.
Notre Dame had their game of the season, but I haven't seen the Irish play too many successful games back to back this year.
All right. And Rocco, how about the conference as a whole? Where do you see this tournament going?
Yeah, good question. I think I love the way Georgia Tech and NC State are both playing. I think that's going to be a big thing to follow. I'd be surprised if Georgia Tech doesn't at least get to the semis, even though Clemson has a strong resume. They're Georgia Tech's beaten them, and I'm just curious to see how far Pastner can take this thing. They might be able to win it. That's the thing I'm looking for the most. I also think that another storyline is Virginia Tech. Like, they are planning to play. They've been shut down for so long. I don't know what we're going to get out of them. That could set up really nicely for the Tar Heels.
It could. I'm seeing here a Florida State championship over Virginia after Virginia David knocks off Pitt in the semifinal. A Pitt team that knocks off both Clemson and Georgia Tech. And that's the team I'm looking at to make a – they're not going to put them in the tournament field at all, but I could see a little bit of a run here out of Pitt. I misread. I was actually thinking that they would get past Clemson, but not past Georgia Tech. But either way, not to the semifinals, the quarterfinals for Pitt. I see two wins for Pitt. And it makes no sense because they have no players left. But I don't trust Clemson, and I don't trust Miami. That's what it comes down to.
Well, I don't trust Miami either.
But David, who wins this whole thing?
I'm going to go with Florida State. A team to watch. I know Stalika is down on him, but ever since the students booed Mike Bray, Notre Dame has looked noticeably better. I'm not saying they're going to go far, but it wouldn't shock me if they got past North Carolina.
We could talk about that again tomorrow night if they get past Wake. How about that?
Okay.
Yeah. It is also first round day in what I believe is the first ever 10-team Big West tournament. Conference always goes eight teams because of the inconsistent schedules this year. They decided to expand. They'll have all 10 teams come in. They're playing it in Vegas instead of Anaheim. They'll actually have Wednesday off, but they will start tomorrow. And Rocco, with these two games, Long Beach, Northridge, Cal Poly, Fullerton, anything that you're looking forward to that is going to be worth mentioning here?
Yeah, I expect both Northridge and Fullerton to move on. Long Beach had an incident last week where they kicked Michael Carter III, former Husky, off the team. I still haven't figured out what happened, but he's off the team, and he was, I think, the leading scorer, 14 points a game, and definitely their highest minutes guy. So that's a big blow right before a big tournament. So I'll take Northridge and Fullerton. Cal Poly is just bottom of the barrel in this league. They're rebuilding, so they're not going to win.
John,
I hope. Yeah, I like the new coach, but we'll see. Yeah. It's year one still.
John, who do you see winning this thing? Is it Santa Barbara, or could somebody else knock them off?
I don't know who drives the bus for Bakersfield, but they need to make sure they go to the Big West tournament and not the WAC tournament, because I know that's easy to confuse given Bakersfield history. But even though you see Santa Barbara had the better season, I could still see Irvine being a bit of a noisemaker here in the Big West.
Well, they will both be Thursday, Friday, Saturday in Vegas, so they could actually play in both, David. Why not?
Yeah, sure. Give yourself two chances. The WAC doesn't have that many eligible teams anyway.
Yeah, why not? Let's let Bakersfield play both conference tournaments. David, who do you think, an Irvine or Riverside could steal this thing?
I don't want to say that it's impossible, but the Gauchos are pretty good.
Yeah, Rocco, you agree with that? It's Gauchos.
I think you have to pick the Gauchos, but I do think Irvine and or Riverside, if they get to the final to face them, that's going to be a really good game. As coach, I mean, Russell Turner and Mike McPio at Riverside, I mean, they're going to come up with great game plans. So I'm really excited about how this plays out.
Yeah, I think it is. I think Thursday could be an interesting game as day as well. I think the Riverside Hawaii game, when we get to that one, it could be an interesting one too. Which I'm kind of rooting for
All I
this River.
want, all I want is a Rivervine
Oh, the
semifinal.
Rivervine Cup.
The Rivervine.
You had a Wynwood Cup, Sleek. That's all you get this year. Southland Conference Tournament expanded just last week. They decided to add two extra teams, so they're going to be starting tomorrow instead of Wednesday. We have the 8-9 game, and this same format that West Coast Conference has, this huge extended ladder that goes on 3 million rounds. But Southeastern Louisiana, McNeese State, Incarnate Word, Houston Baptist. David, going to watch the games even? I know you watch it, but is there anything to watch for in those two games?
Houston Baptist, if they wear their alternate uniforms,
I think they only have a home version of them, and
yeah,
they're the
and
10th
they're
seed.
not, yeah, they're not going to wear them, so probably nothing to watch for. But I don't. It's bad enough when these teams are as far away from Nicholls and like Sam Houston and Abilene as they are. It's even worse when they have to win four games just to get to that round and get blown out. I don't think it's going to be pretty chalky.
As far as the tournament goes, Rocco, it was huge at the end of the season there when Sam Houston State lost their regular season finale to their arch rival Stephen F. Austin, dropped them all the way down to that three seed, and which not only means that they have to play the extra game, but even more importantly,
Play at ACU.
Nicholls has the easier path with just like a Northwestern State or New Orleans in the semifinal. Sam Houston and ACU, that semifinal. This could set up for Nicholls State to win this thing, doesn't it?
It could, but I do think both Abilene and Sam Houston are much stronger than Nicholls. It's not like Nicholls is playing at home. That's when I would favor them. But Sam Houston's playing down the road in Katy. They're going to have the local advantage. The team I want to call out, though, I think they've been playing the best ball the last few weeks is your Lamar team. They beat, was it Sam Houston, I believe, right? Or was it Stephen F.
SFA,
Austin? SFA, yeah. Lamar's been on a little tear, got all the way up to the six. I think that at one point they're in like 10th place. I could see Lamar making the SHSU sweat before they even get to the semis.
I was going to call it Central Arkansas for being red hot because they beat Abilene Christian late in the season, but they were one of the two teams that didn't even make the field. So,
they had to win that game to stay alive, and it didn't help.
Salika, what do you see? Who do you see winning this event?
Go Colonels, GEAUX.
I'm with you. It's not that I don't think they're the best team. I think that Abilene's the best team, and Sam Houston State's the second best team.
And that's why Abilene's going to win.
I've got this feeling about the Colonels that this is their year. They almost get a bye into the final. Not quite a bye. I mean, they'll get a battle. New Orleans was played tough down late in the season as well.
Notice that the entire bracket, the top half is all Louisiana and the bottom half's all Texas.
Hey, that's there we go. We've got regions. We got the Louisiana region and the Texas.
It's awesome.
I didn't notice that, but yeah.
Yeah, we're just missing Corpus Christi. They could have been the 11th team in the bottom there. One more conference is tipping off with only a single game tomorrow. It is opening round day. This another conference that added an extra round at the last minute. Conference USA decided to add in a pair of basically play-in games between the sixth and seventh place teams for the final spot in each of their division formats. Rice is playing Southern Miss, the sixth and seventh place teams in the West Division, for the right to go up against Marshall in Wednesday's second round. FIU got shut down today, though, because of COVID problems. They were supposed to play Middle Tennessee. Middle Tennessee State will just advance and play North Texas. But we do have a single game. John Rice, Southern Miss. It might, it's an elimination game, so we're going to watch it, right?
We'll be watching it. It'll be interesting to see who ends up giving up about 150 points to Marshall the following day.
Rocco, how about this tournament? And it's, putting aside the Rice Southern Miss game, the rest of the tournament here, assuming that everyone else gets their games in.
Yeah, I mean, last weekend was a pretty big surprise. I thought that UAB went to North Texas and took them completely out of their game on their own home court. Kudos to UAB turning it around and getting their two biggest wins of the year and earning the bye. Louisiana Tech,
but also putting themselves in this half of the bracket with Western Kentucky. They might have preferred to be in that three seed, actually.
Yeah, I mean, Marshall might even be tougher too. So that's a really good team as well. Old Dominion's feisty, well coached. It's pretty wide open. I mean, I really thought North Texas was in a. If you had asked me last week, that would have probably been my pick. But now, I don't know. Maybe Western Kentucky just finally puts it all together and makes it happen. But there's five really good teams in this league that I like a lot.
I think Western Kentucky is going to put enough together to make the championship game, where I think they're going to lose to Louisiana Tech. That's my call here, David.
Bold. If the chalk holds, I'm actually looking forward to the Western Kentucky UAB semifinal game. I think it could be good, but I think WKU wins it and wins the whole thing.
Watch out for Marshall. That's all I'm
Oh
going to
yeah,
say.
Marshall. There are some landmines in this. It's not going to be where they skate. Marshall's good. UAB's good. La Tech's good. Old Dominion just beat them. North Texas is good. I mean, this is going to be a fun tournament.
Quality.
Yeah, and even tomorrow's game should be fun, even though it's atrociously bad teams.
Yeah. Hey,
And let's.
Charlotte beat Western Kentucky this season. They could be
That's
their
right.
quarterfinal game.
Yeah.
And let's not forget about who took Kansas to the wire, UTEP.
UTEP
They're
down
in this
there.
too.
Yeah.
They can play.
John, who do you see winning it?
I see Western Kentucky winning it, although they're going to be black and blue after the semifinal against UAB.
All right. That's it for the games that are going to be on the schedule for tomorrow. So we have a lot that we'll be reviewing tomorrow night in our video notebook. But let's run to our survival board. Not Appalachian State anymore. No, thank you. This is our NCAA tournament survival board, which is a tool that we do to for a couple purposes. One of them is to track how many teams are left with a chance to win the national championship. And heading into the day today, there were 217 teams left on that list.
Yep, still playing, could still win it all. Everybody gets to play until they lose.
As a result of today's games, we are down to 206. Not
Yeah,
that many today. It's a light
not a
day.
hugely busy day. It gets substantially busy over the next 2 days. Essentially in the next 3 days, we're going to eliminate 100 teams.
I would note that if Pepperdine loses to BYU tonight, by tomorrow morning, this will be down to 205. If
Okay.
BYU, if Pepperdine wins that game, it'll stay at 206 because
Yeah.
BYU would not fall off the
But
board.
it has locks, it has auto bids, it has teams under consideration, it has teams that need to win the auto bid to get in. It has all the information the committee needs. That's why we do it. We do this for them.
Right. And we list teams in different matters. If you see the teams that are in bold and all caps, like Loyola Chicago, Morehead State, Greensboro, Appalachian State, those are teams that have won the automatic bid. They're in. The committee doesn't have to debate whether they're in or not. They're in.
Yeah, they don't have to debate the teams in that are
Now, if I'm a committee member and I see a team in bold, I go to the committee room, David, and I said, gee, should Oregon be in the field or not?
Yeah, they're in bold.
So I know I don't have to debate them.
Right. Yeah.
If I'm a committee member, though, David, and I walk in and I say, you know what? What about Utah State? I think they should be in.
Well, maybe they should.
So we should be debating them.
Yeah.
So these teams I talked to are ones they should be talking about.
Yeah.
Now, if I'm on the committee, David, and I walk into the room and I say, Morgan State, I think Morgan State should get an at-large bid.
Well, the last time that happened, where a committee member like said Tulsa should be in, they ended up removing two members from that committee.
Yeah. So anybody that's a regular type does not get is not worth debating. They still have a shot to get in through an automatic bid, but they are not eligible for an at-large bid anymore, correct?
Yeah. Right. Yeah, they're not.
All right. Let's go to our feature. How about
Okay, I can't wait for this.
that? This is our hoopshd.com hot seat feature.
Yeah.
These are coaches, David. What to tell us about them again?
Well, I mean, they're coaches that, again, they're on the hot seat. Their jobs are in jeopardy. They need to have a big march. You can see some of the people up there. Tony Bennett on the hot seat because his former team, Wazoo, not really doing anything. It's just an indication that he leaves the cupboard bare. Virginia kind of worried about that. You see Roy Williams also on the hot seat. He former coach at Kansas. They're doing just fine without him. It makes you wonder if he even had anything to do with it at all. Very much on the hot seat. We have Scott Drew, who can't fill his arena. We have Indiana's next head coach simply because he'll be at Indiana. I forget why we put Norman Dale up there. And yesterday, Jay Wright, only one Big Five win, definitely on the hot seat.
Yeah, you can't coach at Philadelphia and only win one Big Five game and keep your job. David, right. I have a coach coming up here that for tonight's hot seat that is in a lot of trouble, I think.
Okay.
Let's start with who he is. There he is. It's Geno. UConn women's head coach. Let me tell you, it has been 4 years since they won a national championship. On top of that, David, how about this? 49 losses. I mean, any coach that loses 49 games should be fired. Most teams don't even play 49 games. Well, I double checked the stats, and he has lost 49 games this century. So that is, that is pretty awful.
Well, the other thing is, you can tell that the fans are restless. If you search the hashtag #FireGeno on Twitter, and you should absolutely do it because it is hysterical. You'll see, you'll see that there's a movement to fire Geno.
Absolutely. 49 losses this century. And we're in the 21st year of it. Geno, or yeah, but I think that's an average of what, about 3 losses a year.
Some of those were in the tournament.
And one of them was, he had 1 year where they lost eight of them. So it's just absolutely ridiculous.
I thought the worst thing they did was waste about 6 or 7 of their prime years in the American, where they just weren't tested at all.
Let's go ahead and move over to any other final thoughts. And John, let me start with you.
I'm going to go towards Drexel and head coach Jack Spiker right here. Spiker was someone who had started over at Army and actually got the Black Knights started on their winning ways, because after Coach K left Army, I think the only coach I could remember that had a winning record at Army for even one season was Dino Gaudio, but even Gaudio had a horrific record at Army, but Spiker started to turn things around, and now one game away from getting Drexel to the big dance.
Yep. Like I said, I'm not far from Philly. I got to support that Philly team, but Rocco.
Yeah. I just want to come back to the Oakland Golden Grizzlies and Coach Campy and their scheduling philosophy this year, where they only had 7 non-conference games maximum that they could do. So they went ahead and did the Xavier event, where they got to play the Musketeers in Toledo and Bradley in a 3-game deal. And then they also picked up Michigan, Purdue, Oklahoma State, and Michigan State. Those were their 7. Clearly lost all 7, albeit giving Michigan a little scare. Also got swept to open up conference. So they started at 0-9. But I'm a big believer in this scheduling philosophy if you can do it at your program. I know not all programs can pull it off, but we saw it in the past with Long Beach State and Texas Southern, for example. What ends up happening is you're in a one-bid league anyway. You play against all these unbelievable Power 5 level teams, and your team naturally starts to figure things out and learn a lot about each other. By the time you get into league play, I think you have a big step up against another team maybe on equal footing that didn't have those tests and go through that adversity. So I just want to give a tip of the cap this season to Coach Campy. Came all the way around from 0-9, one win away from the tournament. Just outstanding, and I would recommend any coaches that tune into the show to think about doing this in the future if you're able to.
Yeah, this is a pitch. I don't know if Oakland did this, but Long Beach and Texas Southern did. It was an administrative decision. Well, I mean, I guess it was steered by the coaches, but the administration backed it.
Well, and for a lot of those, because of the money that you get.
Well,
from
because of the money.
Yes.
Yeah, definitely because of the money, because of the TV exposure. But they had a lot of these buy game contracts where they were staying in 4- and 5-star hotels and asking for big per diems, and essentially traveling on the types of buses and having the types of experiences on the airplanes that Power 5 conference teams typically have. Not in while they lost, you know, 70-80% of those games, if not more.
95% of those games.
Yeah, I think there were years Texas Southern didn't win any of them. Right. It was a way to recruit players in the sense that we are going to give you a Power 5 experience. We're going to play in Power 5 arenas. We're going to fly on chartered jets. We're going to stay in nice hotels. We're going to have big per diems. And we're going to be ready for conference play by the time we do it. So it's just that, like, I didn't know Greg Campy in Oakland were doing that, but Texas Southern and Long Beach did that. Yeah. And it worked. Some of those teams were pretty good, that at least at Long Beach that they had. So, yep.
And they wound up. Oakland wound up with the number 12 non-conference strength of schedule of the nation because of that at Michigan, at Purdue, at Oklahoma State, at Xavier, at Michigan. Right. David, though, any other final thoughts from you?
No, I'm not smart enough to come up with my own final thought. I was just going to echo Rocker.
Well, on that note, I do want to thank everybody for joining us. We'll be back again at some late hour tomorrow evening. Actually, I think it's not too late tomorrow evening, but sometime tomorrow evening with our next video notebook. But on behalf of David Gribbs from the Puppet Bunker, John Slica from A Place That's Not the Puppet Bunker, Rocco Miller from Bracketeer.org, and me, Chad Sherwood, from here in Southern New Jersey, thanks for joining us, everybody. We'll talk to you again real soon.